My message this morning is the discipline of God. Another way of saying that is the goodness of God. Because God is good, He disciplines us. None of us particularly like discipline, but as we come to know Him, we come to realize, don't we, that His love is just so overwhelming, and He corrects us when we need to be corrected. And the scripture tells us that if we say that we are without sin, we are deceiving ourselves. So every one of us need the discipline of God. And in my heart, I've just been saying, Lord, I really want to be a person that's quick to repent. I really want to be a person that's, you know, just to walk with the Lord and not have something in between. So if the Lord is correcting us, we want to be quick to listen to Him and to be obedient rather than being rebellious and taking a long time. There's just so much misconception about in the world about the discipline of God, because people mix it up and don't realize that God is absolutely good. See, the devil works so differently. The devil traps people. The devil works through manipulation and control. The scripture tells us that manipulation and control is actually rooted in witchcraft. So we never want to be controlling other people. We don't want to manipulate people, even unconsciously. We want to be have the Spirit of the Lord, but it's a spirit of love and freedom. Because God never controls people. Do you know that? Do you know what? Nobody, no human being would end up in hell if God was controlling people. But God respects the free will that's been given to each individual. And when we read in scripture, Jesus spoke about Lazarus and the rich man. This was a real man. And notice what Jesus says about this man and what he spoke from hell. He didn't say, oh, I shouldn't be here. He never said that. He knew he deserved it. He knew he had made the choice. So the point is, God has given us this wonderful gift of free will. But let's use our free will and yield to Him. You know, sometimes when I speak to the Lord, I'm just like saying, Lord, I just roll myself out before You. I completely open up every area of my spirit, of my soul, and of my body. Come and minister. Come and correct me. Come and shine Your searchlight, because we need that. We need that. God is so absolutely good. One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 1:1-3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. The exact representation of His being. So when people are struggling to understand God and to know God, look at Jesus, because that's the exact representation of God. So you look at what Jesus said and what Jesus did. That's how you can know the heart of God, by looking at Jesus. I was born again when I was 12. I really didn't know much except that I really desperately needed God. And as a young teenager, I used to go out with tracts to witness on the streets. And I remember this man in one of the supermarkets, and he said to me, I am not sure about this God. I'm just not sure. Jesus, that's another matter. Him I can understand. And it was quite a remarkable comment for somebody who obviously didn't know God, but he felt like he could relate to Jesus. You see, that's why Jesus came, because God knew people were struggling to relate. So he became a man and he came and he's paid the price for our sin. 2 Corinthians 6:18 in the English Standard Version says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. How beautiful is that? He is our Father. He is our Father. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. He comes to us, and he comes, and he does bring correction. But he does not come and punish us. He does not come and put sickness on your body. He does not come, because he's not like the devil, who's a manipulator. As a church here, we worked for many years trying to help people with addiction problem. It's a very special kind of work and difficult work. And what you see is people's lives that want to be free, but they can't because they're so stuck. And this is what the devil is like. And the people that serve the devil, even the people that are into the occult, you know, if they fail in the assignment, sometimes the devil physically takes them out, as in kills them, because they did not succeed. Our God is completely different. He is a good God. When we come before him and repent, he forgives us. And so I want you to be so reassured about the absolute goodness of God. And that when God disciplines, he does not put disease on you. He does not put calamity on you. He does not put disaster on your life. That does not come from the Father. We live in a day. Lots of people are talking about climate change. Do you know what the root cause is? The Bible tells us the root cause is sin. The Bible tells us the root cause is sin. There was no problem with climate change before the fall, was there? Sin is the root. And all of creation is mourning because of sin. And as sin increases, the more the earth feels it, the land feels it. It's important for us to understand. These are biblical principles. Don't mix that up with the discipline of God in the sense that it is sin that is the root cause. You see? It is the sin that is the root cause. There are consequences of choices that people make. There are consequences of choices. But for God's people, God disciplines us by speaking to us. Then you meet people and they'll say, oh, God never speaks to me. But that's not true, because the Bible says that he does. But if we harden our heart, then eventually we don't hear his voice anymore, because we've hardened our heart. We must keep our heart open to hear. God is so good. Ephesians 3, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly about all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. O him be glory to the church, by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever, amen. You know, he does things, not just what we ask, but that we think. This is how good our God is. He is so good. But many people are blinded. Even from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve fell, and they were expelled from the garden, they felt that shame and rejection. But it was actually the goodness of God that God put them out of the garden, because otherwise they would have remained in their fallen nature for eternity. And God had a plan of salvation. God had a plan of salvation. He has restored us through Jesus Christ, that we can be like Adam and walk with God and talk with him. I often reflect now on the scripture that talks about Moses, and God spoke to Moses face to face, and I'm like, God, you did that with Moses. I want to be like that. Don't you want to be like that? Face to face with God talking? Oh yes, of course that's possible. Moses lived before the cross. We are living in the age of grace. How much more is it possible for us to talk face to face? The days of Noah have been so misunderstood as well, because people forget that God had to cleanse the generations because they've been contaminating. All these people were no longer 100% human. And Jesus had to be born as a human being, 100% human. It tells you that in Genesis 6. So God does not give you sickness to give you a lesson. Jesus never put sickness on anybody. Read the Gospels again. He never. He healed the sick. In fact, he carried all of our diseases on his body on the cross. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This total opposite. So we have this discipline of God, Hebrews 11, 7 to 8. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who's never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and you're not really his children at all. Do you get it? So the discipline of God is evidence to you that you're his son, you're his daughter. If you're not receiving discipline, that would indicate you're not his son and daughter. You're illegitimate. As we all know, you've all watched parents with young children. They need discipline. They need guidance. Of course they do. Otherwise, they will end up hurting themselves. And God desires that we would hearken unto his warning to avoid getting ourselves into trouble and being hurt. He says, I would so much rather that you heed my words, because the word of God is wisdom, and that avoids us getting into trouble. You know, when I'm listening to the stories of the various drug addicts we were ministering to, my heart would weep on the inside at the injustice, at the sin, and what the enemy does to people's lives. And I felt that God has saved me from a lot because I committed my life to the Lord at a young age. God saved me from a lot. By heeding the word of God, God will save you from a lot. That's the discipline and the love of the Father. But even if we've messed up, he does restore. And he does completely make you whole again as you come to the Lord. When we make Christ our Lord and Savior, we submit to him as Lord and Savior, which means we also submit to his discipline. The flesh may not enjoy it, but a spirit comes to understand. This comes with sonship and daughtership. This is a good thing. John 15, 1 to 3, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. By the message I have given you. Do you see how God says it is through his message? It's not by sending you a hurricane to your house. It is by sending you a message. It's by speaking to you. The New King James says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Do you see how that's God's discipline? It's not through a sickness. It's not through accidents on the road. These things are not from God. But God says, this is how he does it. Through the word I've spoken to you. So God speaks to you. God speaks to me. This is how he disciplines me, by speaking to me. He's very inventive in how he speaks. He speaks through his scripture. But even if we don't pick up our Bible, he'll find some way to speak to us if we only just listen. You see, Jesus disciplined his disciples by words. And he does the same to us. He speaks to us. Our desire is to be quick to hear and to obey. James 1:21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. God will save you from a lot by being obedient to his word. Even if you don't understand why, we trust him. We implicitly trust our Heavenly Father because we've come to know him. Obedience is what the Lord's looking for, because he's saving us from trouble. He's saving us from taking the wrong turn. He's saving us from wasting years of going in the wrong direction, going into the wrong job, going into a wrong relationship, living in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. It might not be that it's an evil thing you're doing, but is it the will of God? So God disciplines us by speaking to us, to guide us. His word is a light to our feet, isn't it? It's a light to our feet. So we've got to open our eyes and look and take the path that he sends for us. This scripture from James said, accept the word God has planted in your life. So this is how God disciplines us. Not via sickness or accidents, not through physical abuse, not through ridicule. Not through ridicule. God does not work through ridiculing a person. Never. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery. What did Jesus say? Who could cast the first stone? He who is without sin in that crowd. Who was without sin in that crowd? Who was without sin? There was only one, and that was Jesus himself. And he waited until all the people walked away before he spoke correction to that lady. Because God is not into ridiculing people, making them feel rubbish. God is not into that. That is from the enemy. So remember that as we minister to people. We minister in the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of love and humility. Remember that, my friend. As people come into this place, let's remember that. To minister to the love of God and to see the gold. God saw the gold in that woman. All these people, they saw that she had been caught. They didn't catch the man, did they? And they wanted to ridicule this woman and stone her. But Jesus comes in the opposite spirit of love and bringing salvation. So when we speak to people, remember your call to see the gold. Whose job is it to convict people of sin? The Holy Spirit, not us. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. We are to preach. Are we preaching bad news? I hope not. I hope we are preaching good news. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you come to Him, He will restore you. He will forgive you. He will give you a new life. So the discipline of God is covered from head to toe in love. And so it's so beautiful when we see Jesus addressing the people in the gospel, because He's shown us, this is how I do it. He said to her, go and sin no more. But He waited till the other people were away. He did not ridicule her. The enemy does that all the time. And we don't want to be on his side, do we? So that's why when we are learning and practicing to prophesy, to speak the word of God, it is for edification. It is for encouragement. I remember we were doing the prophetic evangelism, and we were saying to people, I'm practicing giving out encouraging words. Do you have a moment? Can I speak to you? And there was this young mother with children standing at the bus stop, and she's like nodding her head. And it just came to me right away, God was saying, you are such a good mother. God loves that you are such a good mother. All the tears came. All the tears came to this woman. And I'm thinking, has anybody ever told her that she's a good mother? But God sees it. God sees it. And so it's lovely to know how the Holy Spirit ministers to people that are broken. We are here to bring the good news. Yes, we preach the full gospel. Yes, we preach salvation. And so when we come into, but first we have to get people into the kingdom, you see? We have to get people into the kingdom. And God is preach the goodness of God. It's wonderful how the Father's heart and His compassion is so demonstrated through the life of Jesus. Even when you think about the way that Jesus spoke to the religious leaders of the day, He did speak to them strongly in one way, but He didn't speak against them because they were religious or had studied the scriptures, because Jesus Himself, from the age of 5, would have studied the scriptures. You know, Jesus wasn't born and came out as a baby and He already knew from Genesis onwards. I mean, He was born like you and I, without the ability to even pronounce words. And the scripture says that He had to learn discipline. He had to learn discipline from His parents, yet He lived and never sinned. It's just so hard for us to comprehend, because we are surrounded by sin every single day. But just let's remember that Jesus had to learn the scripture. So when he did appreciate the Pharisees and the religious leaders, because they had a love for the word. But he corrected them when they took it the wrong way. And He learned everything Himself. And when we read about the way that He speaks truth, and yet He speaks in love. Because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts deep. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged swords, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes our innermost desires. So we need the Word of God in our lives. You know, I kind of picture myself, I roll myself out like a roll of wallpaper. Just roll it all out. Shh. That is me. And saying, asking the Holy Spirit to come and just zoom right over, scan my whole being. Search my heart, oh God, search my heart. That's what the psalmist said. We need the discipline of God so that we can grow and so we can mature And that we can become the mighty people of God that we are called to do. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what God is going to do even more in Livingston. And it's amazing how God opened the door for us to gather together in this very place where we're standing right now. This building has been here since very early on when the new town was built. And people through all these years have come, and this has been a gathering place. Do you agree? You understand? This has been a gathering place for many years. However, people have come here in community, but they've been drinking from the wrong well. They've been drinking from the wrong well. But when Paul came, and he came to a town, he would go into the center of the community where the people were meeting. He would go where they would meet as well and preach the gospel. And so God, likewise, has called us to go straight into the point where people for many, many, many years have been meeting. And we are here, and we can, on behalf of the inhabitants of this town, repent for having been drinking from the wrong well. We can bring that to the table. You see, this is how you bring change about. Through repentance. Through repentance and standing in the gap. I'm excited about the plans that God has for Livingston to be a living town with the living waters of God. God has called Livingston to be a place of healing, of deliverance, a place where the captives are set free. This is our calling, people. This is our calling. So let's make sure that we are vessels that are ready to be used. Let's receive the discipline of the Lord. Let's walk right before Him so that we can be used. He will use all of us. He will use all of us as we yield our lives to Him. Praise God. Amen.